I have a little bit of odd, I guess, for me, because normally I don't read an enormous amount for the text, but today I'm going to read several verses in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 1, and it would be good if I gave a background a bit on this, but I'm going to let this writing of Daniel give this background itself and just kind of limit my interactions expository approach until I finish reading. How's that? Is that okay? I'm just going to read straight through, in other words. That was a politician's way of saying I'm going to read a lot. I'm going to read a lot, all right? Here we go. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. And then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. And I understand people have different pronunciations of that. I will use what my Bible gives me as pronunciations, and that's why I call it Chal. That CH is underlined as a long K sound. All right. So to me, and that's my pronunciation. Other people have different pronunciations, and we're not going to quibble over it. All right. We're going to let, if they want to call it whatever, I'll call it whatever, and I'll be wrong or they'll be wrong. Whichever one, doesn't matter. For to show the king his dreams. This is why he called them all in. So they came and stood before the king. And he said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time. Everybody say time. Because you see, the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such things at any magician or astrologer or a Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the king known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that it would give him time. Everybody say time. That he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, and he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings, and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might. It is made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." I'm going to stop reading. I told you I was going to read a lot. I want to talk to us just for the next few minutes on changed times. Changed times. Let's get the background of what has happened here, where these men find themselves in a strange land, in a place that was not of their norm of life. If you go back to the book of Daniel chapter 1, you're going to find the description of what was taking place from Daniel's point of view. Daniel was writing this as he recounted what was taking place, or what had taken place, and how that their lives became uprooted. And when I say there, it was not just Daniel, but it was also, we know them more prominently as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's how we know them. We know their names from the Hebrew boys that were thrown into the fiery furnace. We know Daniel from the one that was thrown into a den of lions. But Daniel was also with these guys when they were in their homeland. And somehow or the other, things got in arrears with God, and they were taken captive. Daniel chapter 1 gives us a very interesting, and I will use that word because I feel like, to me, that's how it means when I read it. It is a very interesting insight into what kind of person Daniel was, what kind of individuals Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. The king of Babylon that was taking over Israel, and again, I could even go further back and tell you why that they were being taken over. Let me just suffice it to say, they forgot God. They went about their own ways. It didn't mean everybody forgot God, but the masses did. The general population did. And they were if you read throughout the book of Judges, you will find this on a consistent basis, that every cycle of time, and it changed. There were times that it was 7 years, sometimes it was 14 years, sometimes it was 40 years, sometimes it was less. But there was all points in between. There were people that would be seekers of God, and then all of a sudden they wouldn't seek God. They would forget. They wouldn't worship God. They wouldn't go to church like they ought to. They wouldn't serve God like they ought to. And when I say that in respect to their time, we have it as a common thing to go to church. They had it as a common thing to worship the way that they were taught to worship, the one true living God of Israel. Amen. It was a kind of a different process than what we know it, but in our language, in our vernacular, it's go to church, worship God, live for God. They would forget that, and God would turn them over to occupying force. They would be carried away captive. There would different times and different measures would be taken by different groups of people. And if you do the study of that, you'll find out that what is told to us and what is taught to us from the Old Testament in the physical and the natural is also explaining what is to take place and reveal to us in the spiritual in the New Testament. The Old Testament was written for our learning and our admonitions. The scripture calls it a schoolmaster. It was there to teach us and to reveal to us the workings of God and how he responds to individuals or to people in a group. And it's not just that it's for just individuals. It's not just for that it's a group. Sometimes there's individual responses and sometimes there's corporate responses. Doesn't mean that everybody was bad when Daniel was carried away captive, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were carried away captive. In fact, what I wanted to point out to you in chapter 1 of Daniel, King of Babylon told his guy, Arioch, he told him, he said, you go, when you get there, I want you to get, he was the chief of the eunuchs, and he said, I want you to find some good young men of royal standing. And I want you to find them that are learned in science, in math, and I want you to find them that know how to stand in the presence of a king. That's what he told him. This is very important for us. This signifies how that we as influencers, and I know that word has been hijacked and people have cheapened the meaning of that word in today's society. They feel like because they've gotten 500 followers that they influence people. I thought it was so interesting. I saw this just not long back. Young lady had so many followers on her Instagram. I don't even know what all these things are, okay? I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It has no effect on my life. But Instagram, Twitter, and I don't know what all she had, Facebook and all that good stuff. She had all these followers, and she was going to have a meet and greet. And she did. She had a meet and greet, and she was the only one that showed up. I mean, she had thousands and thousands of followers. Do you know that I've got more followers than that? Did you know that? I'm like David. David knew all about this a long time, or God did, and he put it in David's heart. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He keepeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. No matter where I go, I got followers. I turn around, I got followers. Wherever life takes me, I've got followers. I don't have to worry about a meet and greet. They're always with me. Mercy, surely goodness and mercy. If I get to feeling bad, I turn around and I find goodness. If I get to feeling terrible because somebody hasn't shown me some kind of extended mercy, I don't have to worry about it because it's following. I got some followers today. Amen. Here. Yeah. They were thinking that they were influencers. No, they weren't. We're to be the influencers of the next generation. And it's not through Instagram, it's through godly living. It's in how we teach this younger generation to conduct themselves. And let me tell you, the best way to teach them is not to tell them, it's to show them. How do you handle adversity? That's tough, isn't it? I want you to find me some young men. I want you to notice what was a common thought in those days. I want you to notice this. You'll find this all throughout the Bible. you'll find this, and this is very important. And this is why that I'm covering this little point here. Arioch from the king of Babylon was the chief of the eunuchs. And when he got the people of God and brought them into captivity, one of the key activities of being captive was being made to where you could not reproduce. That's what a eunuch is. You can't reproduce. There's a reason that I brought that up. Oh, we shouldn't talk about that from the pulpit. Well, I'm sorry if it offends you. We'll get you some earplugs or something. Because there is a spirit that is sweeping our world today. Do you know what it's doing? It's doing exactly the very same thing that is talked about in this book time and time again. If you want to read just a little bit further in the book of Daniel, you'll find that they were all brought together to worship and dedicate a new image that Nebuchadnezzar had made, and it was Baal. Do you know how they worship Baal? They would do this, and I'm not going to go into all the details, all right? I'm just not. I went through, several years ago, I went through a very deep study on the worship of Baal. And let me just tell you the worship of Baal, all right? Let me just tell you, in a 40,000-foot overview, we're going to fly over at 40,000 feet today because of the atrocious details that are involved. Do you know what they're trying to do on a consistent basis for years now, since maybe early 70s? They're trying to get us to embrace the theology and the thought pattern of aborting our babies. They're also, even a little bit before that, if you notice this, just a little bit before this, and in the awakening of the 60s, and God bless you if you live through all of that, and thank God he saved you from that. Love children. We're going to just live and let live, and we're going to just do whatever we want to, and nobody's going to pass judgment, and we're just going to have our free love society. Do you know that's the worship of Baal? Did you know that? Do you know that the oldest temple in the world, that has been the largest temple in the world right now, is the Temple of Baal? And its location is in the valley of the Battle of Armageddon. Did you know that? It's there. I visited that country. It's there. Do you know what they do? They just live and let live. You think, oh, that worship of Baal, it is a major power source. It is not that they have a church on every little corner. It's not like we have this denomination or that denomination. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a spiritual thing. That's what it is. It was not just in this generation that we're finding this kind of ideology. Oh, we're just going to live this way and nobody should condemn us. No, it's been way back from Baal worship, long time back. God knew what they were going to do, and he started confusing their language. And he started spinning them out here and out there. This was a long time right after a flood that God had just made the statement that he said men's minds are only evil continually, or their hearts. So I'm telling you this now, Noah, when you come off that ark, you start replenishing and multiplying and replenishing the earth because we don't want the wild beasts to take over. But you just start going forth this way and that way and this way. And they didn't do it. They all congregated in one spot and they started worshiping Baal. And God confused the language and started sending them out. Well, here was a stronghold of Babylon that was taken over and took captive the people of God. And one of the first things he did was found the choice young men that knew how to conduct themselves. That, you know, it's more than just having book knowledge. It's having some common sense. Common sense is just not common anymore, is it? I mean, people go through in public places and they don't even know how to conduct themselves. They think the world revolves around them. Can I tell you? You're badly fooled. You are absolutely, completely off track. It doesn't revolve around you. And I, for one, I don't care what kind of pronoun you think you want to do. I'm not going to say it. I got one for you. Stupid. Shouldn't say that from the pulpit. Forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. No, when I say that without respect to that. 'Cause I'm not saying with all due respect. I didn't even do that, did I? No, I have no respect for that. If you don't have respect for my God, I don't have respect for your opinion. None. Zero. Do you know why? Because we as people of God have gotten this idea, the same theology that, oh, we just got to be peaceful. And we got, let me tell you something. The Bible says live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within you. But there's some things that I just can't tolerate. And there's one of them, I'm not going to eat skunk. Oh, what does that have to do with anything about us talking about theology? Let me tell you something. There is some skunk theology that's being pushed. And they're being told that we just ought to embrace it. And, oh, we just got to, that's not the Christian thing to do. Let me tell you what the Christian thing is, all right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a few chapters later, says, King, we're not careful to answer you in these matters. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to participate in your sexual worship. That's what Baal worship was. It was a public sexual interaction with everybody and everything because they were worshiping the god of fertility. We want to produce more babies so we can throw them to the fires of Molech. That's what they were doing. I'm telling you, study this out. It is so amazing when you realize that this was not about worship as we know it. It was just a scripture or a terminology that we have adopted an interpretation of or a meaning of. When we hear a word worship, that's what we think of. But that's not the way it was for them. So that's why they said we'd rather go to a fiery furnace than to participate in this mess. I'm not going to embrace that kind of lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not. It's not biblical. Do you know what? Let me just jump back to the book of 2 Chronicles. There's some powerful things here. And remember, I've had this a caption of telling you about changing times. This is what we're doing. Are we living in perilous times, aren't we? Daniel was living in perilous times. I'm not forgetting Chronicles. I'll get back to him in just a minute. But Daniel was living in some perilous times. His life had been uprooted. His buddies' lives had been uprooted. Daniel said, in chapter 1, we find where he says, I'm purposing in my heart, I'm not going to defile myself with a king's approach. Just not going to happen. I know we've adopted this at times and we say we're going to go on a Daniel's fast and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. I am not a vegan or vegetarian. Not at all. My name is not Daniel. I love vegetables, but give me some meat. I want meat. I told my wife just this past, not this weekend, last weekend. She said, what are you going to do Monday? And I think it was a holiday, was it not? Yeah, it's Memorial Day. What are you going to do? I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want a steak at least 2 inches thick. I'm going to cook me something on the grill. I want some meat. So I don't know that I got one 2 inches, but I got one that was thick. It took mine a little bit longer to cook than hers. I just like it thick. I am a meat. I am unashamed when I say I'm a carnivore. I love to eat meat. Put it out there. I don't care if it's lamb chops. I don't care if it's hamburgers. It doesn't matter to me. Just give me some meat. I don't feel like I've eaten unless I've had some meat. I want some protein. Daniel said, I'm not going to defile myself. It was more than just the meat. There was a lot of other defilement that was present there, that was being forced on them. And he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to participate in this. I know how to conduct myself, but I also know how not to conduct myself. Do you know that's one of the things that's missing in this era of time? Is people do not know how to take the word no. I got three amens. The younger generation do not know how to take the word no. They just don't. They do not know what self-discipline is. Do you know what the New Testament calls it? Temperance. Self-control. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit, isn't it? Self-control. And I'm telling you, we got to have it. David knew this. Daniel knew this. These men, great men of God, Moses knew this. Abraham knew this. I didn't say they all exercised it at all times. I'm just simply saying if you have goodness and mercy following you, it's because you know what it is to need mercy. You know some temperance. There are some times you have to temper yourself. Now, I could go in a long discourse of what it means to go through the process of tempering steel, but I'll tell you, it makes it stronger. It makes it handle things a whole lot differently. You can use it for a lot different applications if it's went through the tempering process. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to have some temperance. And Daniel purposed in his heart. He didn't have somebody standing over his shoulder and saying, bless God, boy, you better do this. No, he had been taught from a young age on how to conduct himself and how not to conduct himself. He knew how to stand in the palace. Recently saw a picture of one of our lawmakers. He's standing there with a group of people that were lawmakers, and they were giving him an award. For what? I don't know. I could speculate, but I don't. Because I'd use the word that I used a while ago, and I won't use it again. They were all standing there and they were dressed in their suits and their ties, and everybody was beautiful, nice ceremony, regardless of their political standings. And here he was standing there in shorts and a t-shirt in front of all this, going to be a big, big national press conference. And here he was, he's a lawmaker of our country. Shorts and t-shirt, standing there getting his award, and tennis shoes. You want to wear whatever you want to wear around your house, that's your business. But do you know what the king of Babylon said? I want to find some guys that know how to conduct themselves when they're in public. I want some young men that know how to conduct themselves in a palace. I want some young men that know how to dress themselves. Oh, but my mama never taught me. Do you know there's all kinds of books out here you can read and you can learn by observation and looking around you how to be prepared when you go into whatever kind of situation? Do you know that it's out there? Now, am I preaching to the choir? I probably am. But I am just reiterating that we have to have the roots of this so that we can influence the next generation coming along. Don't be afraid to tell them you're not going out of house looking like that. You may be my grandkid, but you're not going out looking like that. You may be my child, and you're old enough to make your own decisions, but you're not going out looking like that. Well, why not? I'm going to wear what I want to wear. Well, guess what? You're not going with me, and I'm not paying for your meal.
Hit them where it hurts.
It kind of makes a difference when if I'm paying, guess what? My rules.
Shouldn't have said that. Had a situation several years ago. Had a situation several years ago, and somebody looked at me. I mean, first time I'd ever met him in my...
Should have told him.
No, I won't. First time I ever met him in my life, they looked at me, and I don't know. I was doing something out of respect, whatever, and they said, "My house, my rules." Okay, whatever. I'm listening. We had our little puppy with us. I didn't like what he was doing at the moment, and I said, "Sit down." Now, he was a puppy, but I don't care. I'm going to have discipline even if it is a dog. He's not going to get in my face. Might get in yours. That's your business. But he ain't getting in mine. He ain't eating from the table that I'm eating at. It's just not going to happen. That's my rules. Same lady looked at me. I mean, it wasn't an hour or 2 hours later. She starts, "Oh, he's all right." I said, "My dog, my rules." That was all it was said. I did it. Everybody drew up and they were like, "What kind of World War III are you starting now?" Don't know. It didn't start it. It didn't end it. It just kind of put a stop to it. Guess what? That's how we have to influence the next generation. Not being afraid to say what we are supposed to say when we're supposed to say it, but knowing the difference on how to say it and when not to say it. It's called discernment. That's what this young man was known for. Arioch, the chief of the eunuchs of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar, looked and followed the instructions of the king. You find some young men that know how to conduct themselves. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because they were going to need to be substantial in their faith in God. They didn't know what was coming in front of them. Let me tell you what came in front of them. There was a king that had a dream, and he didn't know the dream because it left him. Anybody ever had that to happen to you? It left him. And he wanted an answer. He wanted some interpretation. And he couldn't tell the dream. So those guys said, you're just putting us in a most difficult position. He said, "No, I'll tell you what you're doing. You're a bunch of liars and thieves. That's what you are. You don't even know. Oh, you just want me to tell you something so you can make up some old trash and tell me about it. I'm just going to kill all of you, every one of you. Kill it all. Bunch of liars." So Arioch, he got the sword ready, and he is fixing to have a mass execution. And Daniel hears about it because he's lumped in there with them. And he says, "Wait, let me talk to the king." "Okay." Now, remember the king, what the king said. "You're just wanting to change the time. You just wanting to change the time." And Daniel says, "Give me tonight and let me see what I can come up with." And he gets on his face before God and he says, "God, it's not just me, but these buddies of mine, we're all praying and we're asking of you something we need an answer to." And God gives them an answer. "I need you to reveal to me the dream and the interpretation. I don't want to just know the dream. I want to know the interpretation. And when Daniel gets it, he gets up and he begins to praise God. And this is what he says in his response. God, you've given me wisdom. You've given me might. And you're the God that changeth times. It was time for him to die. And God said, I'm changing it. I'm changing it. You are going to die tomorrow. But God, you just changed the time for me. And Daniel said, you've changed the time. Not just for me. If you read this, he says, you've done this for their sake as well as mine. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that if we continue in the same vein, a spiritual degradation that we're headed in right now, we're all going to be destroyed. The old saying is, we're going to hell in a handbasket. And we definitely are, because hell is here with us. Can I get a witness? Years ago, my mother had a knock on the door. One of the people, the witnesses, come to witness to her. And if you've never met my mother, you don't understand this, but you will after I tell you this part. And started talking to her about the ideology and the theology of their belief, and she started questioning, quoting scripture and quoting Bible and questioning, quoting Bible. And she said, you don't even believe in hell. He said, yes, ma'am, I do. Hell, I'm standing here talking to you, lady, and turned around and walked off. It happened. Yep, I'm telling. Gone. That put a stop to it. They put a big X on the map where our house was, and they quit coming. Listen to me today when I tell you hell has made its presence known in our society today. It is not just on the back streets of the drug scene. It's not in the quagmires of the ghettos. No, ladies and gentlemen, it is in the highest positions of our world leadership today. It has no bounds. Let me tell you what has happened. The days are short, and the devil knows it. He knows his time is short, and the days are evil. He has dominion because it was given to him. But ladies and gentlemen, God knows how to change the times. And what changed the time for Daniel, and not just his buddies, but all of the Chaldeans, that they didn't die, was because those four guys got down and began to pray. And they started saying, God, we need you to show us something. We're in a war, and we're fighting for our lives. And if we don't get an answer from you, we're going to die. We're going to be swallowed up in that right early if you're not on our side. That's what David described it as. Let me tell you what, this is so powerful to me. When David is on the run for his life, he's fighting for his life, and he's struggling, and this is in the book of 2 Chronicles. You'll find maybe around chapter 12 or so, and you'll find these little snippets of descriptions that are happening. This is the kind of pronouns I like to use right here. This is the kind of adjectives that I like to see right here. These descriptions of what these guys were, they weren't they them kind of junk people. They didn't have that kind of thought pattern. Let me tell you what the Bible tells us. They would join themselves to David, and this is what it said, and they were helpers of the war. I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a fight for our lives. This has nothing to do with, oh, well, we believe the Bible, or we don't believe this version of the Bible, or do you know that let me tell you what happens when we're talking about the spiritual realm right now, that the devil doesn't fight itself. Did you realize that? Even Jesus described it, and he said, a house divided can't stand. Why did he make that statement? Let me tell you why he made that statement. Because he had just been accused by the religious leaders of that day for casting out devils by the Beelzebub. He said, I'm not doing that. A house divided can't stand. It'll fall. I'm not coming in the name of Beelzebub. That was his response. He knew the power of unity. God knows this, ladies and gentlemen. That's why he confused the language at Babel. Because they were unified, and he said, they're going to do what they said in their hearts to do. They're going to get it accomplished. Ladies and gentlemen, we have more fighting among people that profess to be people of faith than the devil does in all of its entities and empires of the world. Well, we can't get along with that one because we don't believe things just like they do, or we don't like that. I don't like what they believe. You believe they teach? You know, a few years ago there were so many things that were fought over about this and about that. Do you know, I could tell you horror stories, one right after the other. I've seen people completely disfellowship one another all because of what their belief was when the blood was applied. My God, get yourself in the altar. Get your focus on the things of God. Don't start focusing on your own ideology. It's not about that. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. That's why we feel powerless sometimes, because we're using our weapons against each other instead of what God intended them to be. Do you know the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword? It divides asunder the soul, the spirit, the joints, and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know that's the very reason that so many people hold the word of God at a distance? Because they don't want the intent of their heart to be revealed. Second Kings, a little bit of a story. Second Kings, I got to quit. Second Kings, they're in a dry time. They're in a battle, and they have no hope. And they call for a man of God, and he looks at them. He said, I'll tell you one thing. If it weren't for this man right here, I wouldn't even talk to you. He's talking to the kings. And then he stepped up and he said, thus saith the Lord, dig this valley full of ditches. You're not going to see wind. You're not going to see rain. But you're going to have water. Do you know what he just done by the word of God? He just changed time. He just changed it. They were about to die. And he changed it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to embrace what thus saith the Lord. What thus saith the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for visiting with us today. We come in the midst of troubling times, but as I stand in front of this, your great people today, I speak a word. that will change time. Perilous times are upon us, and we are faced with sure destruction. But by the grace of God, we are unifying our hearts, we are unifying our minds, and we are interceding for just those 10 souls, oh God. We are unifying our spirits, and you're changing the times for the forces of right will be victorious. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say,